From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of April, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dave Chatterton. We'll have a conversation with Emerson Nafziger about nitrogen availability and loss. We'll hear from the USDA statisticians in Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, with Don Day of Day Weather on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois. Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day settled at 431. It was down a half. July at 442 and three quarters, a penny and a half lower. And December down 2 cents at $4.67 and a quarter a bushel. May soybeans 11.45, 13 and a quarter lower. July $11.60 down 12. And November soybeans down 8 3/4 at $11.58 and a half. Bean meal futures for 320 lower. Bean oil down 56 cents. Wheat futures in the July down 2 3/4 for the soft red at 5.64 3/4, and the hard red was down, or rather up, 2 1/4 cents. Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing joins us on this Tuesday to take a look at the marketplace. Hi, Dave. Thank you for being with us. I know we normally talk about agricultural energies. We'll get to that in a bit, but we should probably start today with what the trade looks like in Chicago from your perspective.
Yeah, Todd, I mean, not the best start to the week here so far. We've got, 3 days to go here, but a little bit of selling pressure here early in the week. Volume on the exchange has not been great. We spent yesterday basically taking back the risk premium that the market inputted on Friday for the Israeli-Iranian, conflict or situation. The buy the rumor, sell the fact side of that has kind of hit us this week. But I think it goes beyond that. And the conflict itself, Israelis have said that they will react, that they have no choice. What that reaction is going to be, the timing of it, the tenor of it, the size and scope of it, I think are all creating a lot of uncertainty here in the marketplace. And seeing that reflected in some of the outside markets, as well as weighing on grains and a lower volume and kind of an uncertain type of a trade. Beyond that, we're looking at the same, things that we've been chewing on, Todd, that continue to add a little pressure to the market here. We've got a relatively open planting window here after the middle of this week. We are making some progress in the western part of the belt and in the plains here this week. So planting doesn't look like it's going to get seriously behind or be threatened in any way. We've got a forecast beyond that that looks okay. And of course, we're fighting for demand here in terms of our exports continue to slow down here just a little bit.
This is a tough question to ask, but do you think there's any weather premium or risk premium for the weather built into this marketplace? And if so, or if not, more importantly, how much downside is there still?
Yeah, Todd, I think it's a minimal level that we're looking at right now. And it comes from, the carryout situation. Now, we did see the carryout come down a little bit in the April report here from the USDA, and coming off the March 31st stocks report, we saw the bean carryout go the other way. But the bean carryout going up, I think, is a little bit more important. And for both of these markets now, we've got a little bit of cushion here against any problems or any buffeting that we might encounter in the new crop, that we're going to grow here in 2024. So it doesn't feel like we have a lot in there. Corn right now has been consolidating in a sideways pattern, but we need to hold the bottom of that range, which in May's case would be around 425. And we're only about, 5 to 6 cents above that on the close today. If you take that out, you're immediately targeting that previous February low at 409, and then, of course, the psychological $4 mark. And in beans, it's been lower and lower and lower, and we're actually in a position where, unfortunately, we're kind of positioning to target what those February lows were going to be. And that was an 11.24, I believe, on the May beans, and we're about 20 cents above that today. So certainly not. But when you look at the chart action, it's leaned back lower and starting a channel a little bit lower here. And, I would argue that with that weather premium where it's at, an entire growing season ahead of us, and, of course, a lot of headline risk in the market mostly on the geopolitical and outside market front, but the risk reward may be in terms of price may be starting to be skewed to the upside here, but we haven't got a spark yet that has scared the shorts here in a way that they're coming in to cover their positions.
For those producers who have not yet started new crop sales, are they still in a stand pat program at this point and waiting for the risk premium to come in?
Well, I think it's a dangerous game to play. So I'd prefer to do a couple things. One, You know, you can get a little bit creative here on what you're doing for corn for new crop. You know, if we get back up into that, you know, futures up into that, you know, 485 to 90 year, you can do some things like a 1x2 contract or something that, you know, assures you a floor, let's say a $5 floor, and it might have a 425 or 530 double up, but at least you've got something going. If not, I think you need to look at some put strategies here and maybe selling calls against that new crop to give yourself some protection of where we're at. You know, we are below the spring crop insurance prices. It's tough to want to be an aggressive marketer, but I think you have to put it in terms of very simply, if we have, you know, average weather, average yield, and grow a crop close to what the projections are today on paper, we're probably going to see lower prices in the fall than where we're at today. And very similar situation on beans. I mean, beans, we've been waiting for the market to kind of new crop to wind back up towards that $12 area. And it's been a long wait, and it could be a very slow grind lower. Now, it would be unusual that we didn't get that weather event and that risk premium that you talked about, Todd. But I think these funds are going to be a little bit more, you know, they're not going to pull the trigger on covering shorts quite as quickly as they normally would based on these world supply situations.
We should turn your attention as well to what's been happening in the agricultural energies. Tell me about ethanol and then, of course, diesel fuel supplies and things along those lines.
Yeah, ethanol, a really curious situation right now. I mean, demand or corn crush for ethanol has actually been really good, outperforming the USDA's projection here just a little bit. And, you know, we had some adjustments in the April report. I think we'll look for some further adjustments going forward. Margins have been, I'll call them adequate, but certainly not spicy or not opulent. The problem is that we're building ethanol stocks here at a rate that just doesn't feel very good here at the moment. And in doing so, you know, gasoline demand typically does, you know, pop up here in the summertime, Todd, but we need to see a little bit better offtake here to keep these stocks in check here and, you know, kind of balance ourselves out through the summer.
And then as it relates to diesel and the price of gasoline, what do you see on the world market? I'm interested to know how the Russo-Ukraine war has been impacting this in the recent months.
Yeah, well, oil, you know, very in a nutshell, very much about geopolitics right now. And you've got a number of different fronts going on that geopolitical front. You've got Russia, as you mentioned, they're the second, you know, largest exporter in the world. You've got the Iran situation the Israeli situation in the Middle East that potentially now involves Iran and, you know, one of OPEC's bigger producers and bigger exporters. You've got kind of China smoldering in the background with some issues there. You've got these Venezuelan sanctions that are trying to be, you know, that look like they're going to maybe roll off and different things going on there. So a lot of different things happening at one time. If you look at where prices are at currently, it's hard to paint a picture of prices declining significantly between now and planting time, or really even now and next fall. We've got, you know, OPEC sticking to their production cuts, Todd. We've got global inventories starting to work their way lower. We've got inventories in the U.S. that are certainly, I'll call them adequate, but not necessarily, you know, a big cushion. Crude oil stocks in the U.S. about 1% below the five-year average. Gasoline stocks the same. Diesel stocks about 3%. So getting to a point where that stock situation becomes burdensome in terms of price and in light of the geopolitical risk that we wake up to every day. Unlike grains, I think you can say that oil, you know, and fuel prices are definitely holding some risk premium. And instead of weather, in the case of grains, we're talking about, you know, supply disruptions, what's going on in the Middle East and these other people that we're talking about. Russia is still trying to put their refineries back together after, you know, a portion of them were attacked by Ukraine, you know, several weeks ago. Looks like they're making some progress on that, but about 10% of their production still offline and waiting to come back and kind of will be, you know, hodgepodge together. So whether it's logistics in Black Sea and possible sanctions there, we've already had the EU talking about sanctions against Iran for the weekend attack. Number of different things there that keep the supply situation in question, and really have to be a pretty picky buyer of your fuel here. I think the risk is still skewed to the upside despite the levels that we're at here today, and, you know, having seen Brent crude go to 92, having seen WTI go to 88, still looks like, you know, we had a prediction out today for $150 oil if we have an all-out war in the Middle East. And not saying that happens. I don't think the odds of that are actually very high. But certainly we're going to keep this market on edge here in the near term.
Yeah, thank you much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Dave Chatterton. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. The warm winter has caused some concern across the Corn Belt, at least in those areas where anhydrous ammonia is used in the fall, and many producers are wondering if some of the nitrogen that they put into the ground last fall has managed to make its way elsewhere because of those higher temperatures. Emerson Napsiger, extension agronomist from the University of Illinois Emeritus, joined me earlier in the day to talk just a little bit about that, and we'll hear his whole conversation tomorrow. But as for now, his short answer to this question is that no, the nitrogen probably has not escaped, and it's still right there, ready to be used by the corn plant when it wants to take it up.
We do know that warm, wet conditions are good for denitrification. It's just that denitrification is a phenomenon in more poorly drained soils or poorly drained parts of fields where water stands, and they get saturated, and that's when the microbes that like saturated conditions can go to town and sort of denitrify or convert it back to nitrogen gas. We think that's very rare. Remember that our winter up to this last few weeks has been considerably drier than normal. Its temperature was above normal, but when the soil is relatively dry, we don't worry very much about any form of nitrogen loss. And our tiles were not running very vigorously through the winter, if at all. And this last rainfall is going to trigger some tile flow. But, you know, our time when we really worry about nitrogen loss by denitrification, saturated soils, is basically in June, when the soils are warm enough for that biological process to take place. So I think we can relax about it. We'll sort of keep watching it. If we get conditions in June that are like the conditions in 2015 were, where it rained 10 inches in the month, then we might revisit this. But I think for right now, we can count on that nitrogen from last fall being there, and just proceed accordingly.
Emerson Napsiger is a University of Illinois Extension Agronomist Emeritus. We'll hear the whole of our conversation with him tomorrow during the Closing Market Report. Up next, we'll hear from the state statisticians and their weekly look at crop progress as reported yesterday afternoon. But first, some congratulations are in order for a name that you hear bantied around by our analysts and panelists from time to time and that we talk to on the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Lance Honig has been appointed the new chair of USDA's Agricultural Statistics Board, as well as the Methodology Division Director. As chair, he will lead the preparation and dissemination of market-sensitive agricultural forecasts and estimates. Honig has a wide range of experience with NASS, including most recently serving as the Crops Branch Chief since 2008. As the Crops Branch Chief, he was directly involved in the weekly crop progress reports and many of the other reports that we talk about here on willag.org. Now let's turn our attention to the crop progress reports, where this week USDA tells us 6% of the corn crop has been planted. The rolling five-year average is 5%. 3% of the soybeans are in the ground. The five-year average is 1%. Winter wheat headed has reached 11%. 7% is the five-year average. And the condition of the crop across the 18 reporting states is 32% fair, 47% good, and 8% excellent. That compares to 32, 48, and 8 last week. Now, here are the updates from the state statisticians in Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. Dry conditions and warmer than normal temperatures helped Iowa farmers as days suitable for field work increased to 4.9 for the week ending April 14, 2024. Field work included tillage, spraying, applying fertilizer, and seeding oats. Some corn and soybeans were also planted. Subsoil moisture condition rated 24% very short, 39% short, 36% adequate, and 1% surplus. 4% of the expected corn acreage has been planted. Oats seeding reached 66% complete, 9 days ahead of last year and 10 days ahead of the 5-year average. 20% of the expected oat acreage was emerged, almost 2 weeks ahead of last year and the average. There were still no reports of cattle being turned out into pastures. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Warm weather impacted all of Illinois last week, and temperatures averaged 57.5 degrees. That was 7.6 degrees above normal for the Prairie State this time of year. The average rainfall across the state was nearly 1 inch, just slightly below normal, but most of the state received less than normal rainfall. Southern and eastern areas had higher rainfall amounts. There were 2.3 days suitable for field work around the state last week, and topsoil moisture was rated 5% very short, 10 short, 64 adequate, and 21% surplus. Soybean planting advanced by 2 percentage points and reached 4% finished. That compares to 3% 1 year ago and 1% for the 5-year average. Corn planting reached 3% finished compared to 7% last year and 4% normally. The Illinois winter wheat crop was 5% headed compared with 2% 1 year ago and 3% for the 5-year average. The condition of the crop improved from 1 week ago and was rated 6% very poor to poor, 16% fair, and 78% good to excellent. That is better than 1 year ago. Pasture conditions also improved from last week and were rated 1% poor, 33% fair, and 66% good to excellent. That is better than 1 week ago and a little worse than 1 year ago. Finally, soil temperatures range from the mid-50s in northern Illinois to the upper 50s in southern Illinois, with a few readings in the lower 60s in central Illinois. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota had 3.2 days suitable for field work during the week. Field work included small grain planting, tilling, and manure applications. Livestock were doing well with calving continuing. Subsoil moisture supply is rated 15% very short, 33% short, 51% adequate, and 1% surplus. Farmers started planting their row crops, with corn planted at 3% complete and soybean planting at 1% complete. Barley planted was at 3% complete, oats planted was at 17% with 5% of the oat crop emerged, and spring wheat planted was 3% complete. Sugar beet was also underway and that planting reached 2% complete. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Find us online, listen to us on demand whenever you'd like at willag.org. Just click and play from the website or hit the podcast tab where you can subscribe to the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast, or search any of them out in your favorite podcast applications. Places like Apple, Spotify, and even YouTube, where you'll find it on the FarmDoc YouTube homepage. Let's check the weather forecast now for the growing regions across the planet. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hello, Don. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's begin in South America. What are conditions like in the growing regions there?
Well, we have seen over the last, going back to the last 3 or 4 weeks or so, we've started to see the rains start to come back to some of the key growing areas of South America. As we know, we had been in an El Nino since the late summer, fall of last year through here recently, and that is a drought signal for some of the key growing areas, especially of central and southern Brazil, and that's exactly what transpired. But since El Nino started to weaken and weaken rapidly, we've seen the rains return, and over the next 7 to 10 days, we see some good coverage of rain from Peru through the central and some of the southern growing areas of Brazil. Southeast Brazil, a little bit less in the way of precipitation, but things have gotten more wet down there. Argentina as well. Argentina hasn't been as dry, but we're going to see the better chances of rain in Brazil and the northern areas of Argentina.
This is a late into their monsoonal time frame, especially in that central part of Brazil, I believe. So 7 to 10 days out, that would give the corn crop there, second crop, a good run at making a very nice finish.
Yeah, and you know that's kind of how we're seeing things play out. The begin, start bad, finish better when it comes to rainfall down there.
Turn your attention to here in the United States. Tell me about the growing weather. Begin in the Southwest with the hard red winter wheat for me.
Well, that is one area that has been missing out on a lot of storminess that's been going across the U.S. We've seen a real bias of storms wanting to take tracks a lot further to the north. So what that's done is that some of those key wheat areas, especially along and south of Interstate 70 across Kansas, then down into southwest, central and western Kansas, eastern Colorado, the panhandles, into parts of Texas and Oklahoma there, it's been drier, and they could certainly use some precipitation. And at least here for another week or so, the bias with these storms is continuing to go across the northern tier of the U.S., then into the Midwest, the upper plain states, before heading eastward. So that is an area of concern with dryness. There's also going to be some pretty chilly air coming into that region here at the end of this week. And this upcoming weekend, we don't expect any hard freezing conditions, but you always get a little bit nervous when those temperatures this time of year are going down into the lower 30s. And some of the northern areas of that hard red winter wheat are going to be chilly.
But parts of the spring planting areas from the northwestern part of the Corn Belt to the southeast are likely to be stalled out by rain in the near future?
There's more rain coming. There's a pretty good storm system as we speak right now, producing a lot of shower and thunderstorm activity over those areas as we speak, some severe weather, some rains, and a little bit of snow on the backside of this system. And that's going to help draw moisture into the rest of the central and eastern Corn Belt over the next week. So there's more rain in the future. Now, I do see a little bit of a break in that that'll last 3 or 4 days that may extend up to the last days of April. So there's a wet period short term, a little bit warmer and drier after this pattern.
Are these large amounts of rainfall and total precipitation, or just enough to make sure that things are slowed down and then farmers get back into the field?
Well, there's going to be over the next 2 weeks, parts, I would say the majority of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, central and northern Missouri, that are going to be picking up between 2 to 4 inches of rainfall out of this. So it's certainly going to be enough to keep things pretty wet.
Hey, thank you much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming. Just click and play from the website or hit the podcast tab and subscribe to the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy Podcast, or you can search them all out in your favorite podcast applications, places like Apple and Spotify and even YouTube. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.